What's up? It's Delaney, and I'd love to invite you to become an honorary co-host of the Self-Helpless podcast. Do you want to pick episode topics and guests? Done. Want to surprise your loved ones with shout-outs on the show for a birthday, project launch, a much-needed divorce? Whatever you're up to, would love to be a part of the celebration. Get your favorite and least favorite quotes featured on the podcast, submit questions for our special guests, and find lots more new features and surprises at patreon.com/selfhelpless. You'll also get added to our Patreon Insider email list to easily redeem rewards via a quick email reply. Because we know hanging out on Patreon isn't everyone's thing. You can also opt out of emails if you prefer to be a silent supporter of the show. And don't worry, we do not Scrooge McDuck these contributions. 100% of proceeds go directly to operating expenses that make this weekly podcast possible and available to all. Learn more at patreon.com/selfhelpless or simply click the link in this episode's description. Thank you for helping me fill the void of being the last standing host of the Self-Helpless podcast. Thank you so much.
What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
My mind's playing tricks on me. Why won't it let me be? Look inside and try to find, but nothing seems to give me sweet relief. Why won't it let me be? Look inside and try to find, but every time it seems I lose my mind. My mind. Oh,
It's Self-Helpless with Kelsey Cook, Delaney Fisher, and Taylor Tomlinson.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to Self-Helpless. I'm Taylor Tomlinson.
I'm Kelsey Cook.
I'm Delaney Fisher.
And this week, we are talking about a topic that I've been wanting to do for a really long time.
Yes.
We'll see how Delaney and Kelsey feel about it. Intuitive eating. It is a book. It is a lifestyle. It is a revolutionary program that works, according to the cover of the book. and I'm really excited to get into it. But first, It's been a while since the three of us just did one.
Just the three of us.
So
just the
three of long. Us. I feel like so much has changed for all of us in the last, I don't know, it's been like a month probably since we've recorded one, just us. Probably.
Well, because the last one we did, the three of us, was the Patreon teaser, and we didn't do segments for it. So, probably has been a full month.
Things are different.
Yeah.
So, as you guys know, we're all very busy, and we don't get to hang out that much. And so, these segments are like us talking to each other.
Oh, yeah. It's us catching up for sure.
Yeah.
Just being recorded.
Exactly.
Who wants to start?
We have a couple of really good quotables.
Oh, yes. Okay.
So you've got the one I found on Twitter.
I've got the one you found on Twitter, and this is from The Minimalist.
They have great quotes. You should just follow them and listen to their stuff, because they always end on like some real juicy. Yeah.
Do they? Ooh.
They have some good content.
This is their pinned tweet, and the tweet is, "Love people and use things because the opposite never works."
Mm-hmm. Ooh.
I love that.
And then I think one of our listeners also was like, I like the other one that they have, which is, you can't change the people around you, but you can change the people around you. I fucking love that.
I love that too.
I love
That's
that one
so
too.
Good.
I really love that. Wow. God damn. Ooh, yeah. That hits so hard. It's so true.
So good. And then there's a triple threat. It's so funny because I screenshotted this, and it's from, it's like a Minimal Life Instagram account, and it says, "Don't let perfect be the enemy of better."
God.
Dude.
That's another like tattoo quote for me, where I'm like, I honestly should see that multiple times a day.
Yeah. Next to your
just
Beyonce
have it on your wrist.
Sign.
Yeah, truly.
Seriously. Mm. That anxiety and the perfectionism can stop you from doing anything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, or enjoying anything, or feeling like you accomplished anything if it's not perfect.
Absolutely. Yeah. Oh. God, those were good.
Those were really good. You guys got your money's worth, right?
Yeah.
This is free.
That was fun. See you later.
Yeah.
We did it. I think Kelsey had a self-care list. That probably ties into my self-care list.
Okay, yeah.
We're on opposite. I'm at the beginning and you're at the end.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
The same self-care list.
Yeah. And this is one we've obviously talked about before, but I definitely, I went backward in the whole, like, taking care of myself on the road and not booking too much travel. I don't know how it happened. I think what I need to do is buy one of those like 3-month wall calendars. Do you know what I mean? Where it's not just, because I use the calendar on my iPhone, which just shows you a month.
Yeah.
And if you want to see more than 1 month at a time, everything gets really tiny and you can't actually see what's in each day.
That's a great idea.
That's a really great idea.
Yeah. So what happened for me was last month, at the end of last month, I had a trip to Washington, D.C. for shows. And then from there, I took a train to New York and I was in New York for shows. And then I flew back home from there. That was at the end of July. And so I was thinking, like, it's fine. That works. I didn't realize that, like, 5 days after that, I was flying to Boise. And I came home for less than 24 hours and then got on a plane to Cleveland. It was in Cleveland for 5 days and then flew back and had shows here that night. It's just, it's been nonstop. And I'm like, how did this happen again? Like,
right.
We talked about it on the podcast. I told myself I wasn't going to do this again. And somehow it happened. And I'm back to feeling like super anxious, super burnt out. And it's the fucking worst. And I hate it so much.
You know what I think happens? I feel like when you get that break, you almost get like that false confidence that you can on everything again. And you kind of jump, you dive in head first again. And the same thing happens. You're like, oh shit, no, this is, I need to find a better balance. But that might be.
Yeah.
Because you were feeling like really well rested. You looked very well rested. Yeah. You were really trying to schedule everything, you know, well balanced, a show every other weekend or whatever.
Yeah.
And then boom.
Oh man.
Yeah. It's really hard to tell yourself I'm going to be home 2 weekends a month.
Yeah.
Because I've been dealing with the same thing. Because my upcoming month, 2 months, is like nonstop. Like every weekend, I'm taking a red eye tomorrow night. Like it's just, I've been gone the past few weekends, and even when I've realized that even when I am going somewhere for like quote-unquote vacation, or like, you know, I went to Maine with my boyfriend and that was great, but there was also a lot of meeting family, and like even going to, I went and saw my family, I took my sister because I was like, I'm gonna take you to see our family, like we're gonna go together, and it ended up being, it was great, but it was like we were there for 36 hours and spent, you know, 15 hours in the car going both ways, and I had driven to San Francisco for Outside Lands the week before, so it's like I made the drive up to Northern California and back 2 weekends in a row, and I'm like, dude, I need to actually plan time to just be at home and know that that's important, because even if I'm in LA but I'm staying over at Kyle's, like that's still not being
home. Yeah.
Dude,
yeah,
that's a thing. Yeah, you have to have nothing on your calendar for a full weekend.
Yeah.
I was just telling you that this over dinner, it's like I schedule my downtime now like it's an appointment, and I don't miss that appointment. Like if somebody asks me like, hey, do you want to do this thing on Wednesday night, I will say no, sorry, I'm already busy that night, or I'm booked. And it's because I've booked myself on my fucking couch and that's where I'm staying. Like I have to, or like I have to like pretend that I have like an important meeting with somebody on my couch in order to keep that appointment, you know? But it's so necessary, or else you just say yes to everything and then you're never home.
Yes.
And you never get to recharge.
Yeah.
Yeah, dude.
Sometimes I end up being busier when I'm home because I'm like, well, I'll be at home. And then, you know, I have days like last week where you guys saw me at the end of the day.
Yeah.
And it was like, I've been up. I drove 2 hours to LA at 9, and then I had an audition, and then I had, you know, 4 meetings with 4 different writers, and then I had this, and then now we're podcasting and I have 2 shows after this.
Oh, geez.
And I barely made it to both shows. And it was like, oh my gosh, like I can't. And today was supposed to be like that too. And I already told both of you, but like I had all those meetings that I felt guilted into taking.
Right.
And then they got moved or people bailed or whatever, because that's how LA is. And I'm essentially nobody. And my feeling is starting to be like, if I'm not big enough to where people won't cancel on me, maybe I just shouldn't go on these meetings. Like maybe it's just a waste of everybody's time for me to go in for a bullshit general. A general meeting, everybody, is when you go in and you meet executives who have no interest in you, but your reps have made a lot of promises about how you're the voice of your generation. And then you have to sit there and tap dance and go, see, I am the voice of my generation. And they go, okay, we'll be in touch. And then they never speak to you again. And it's just so hard when you have so little time at home to do all that shit. Like, I don't know how, Kelsey, you fly home for 24 hours, you do a show at night, and then, like, the next day, you are, like, going to an audition or going to a chemistry read or you do whatever. Like, I feel like you're always going when you get home for 24 hours. You should just be, like, in the fetal position.
I know. Yeah. I can't stop. I honestly feel like an alcoholic who, like, was doing well and was sober for a few months and then who, like, got hammered and is hungover. Yeah. Like, that's how I feel. But with, like, workaholism, where I'm like, oh, I was good. was being really careful.
Yeah.
And it was just like, oh man, one thing led to another. And then I woke up covered in vomit. Like, that's how I feel. Where I'm just like, Jesus, how did this happen? It's like, I feel sick again. And
Dude, it's a daily struggle. That's the thing. It's like, yeah, workaholism is an addiction. The same stuff happens in your brain as a workaholic that happens in your brain if you're an alcoholic.
Yeah.
It's just adrenaline instead of alcohol. So we are addicts, unfortunately. Like, I feel like I am.
Yeah.
And I feel like I now have to trick myself into not overworking.
Yeah.
And that's all I can really do is, like, how can I...
Right.
Stay sober from this thing that can easily take over my life.
Right.
And Cam is nice because, like, he'll hold me accountable for stuff. Like, I kind of told you this on the Patreon episode that we recorded last. But, you know, if, like, he sees that I'm, like, you know, running around the house doing tasks that mean nothing, he's like, okay, babe, time to watch TV now.
Yeah.
You know?
Right.
Yeah, come on, sit down.
Yeah.
Why don't you go for a walk? You like walks.
You like, you know, walks. Like.
Yeah. But it's nice to have somebody else who is clued in to your issue and can kind of keep an eye on it.
Yeah.
You know.
Is Kane good about that? Is he's pretty good about turning off?
Oh yeah. Like, that's not a problem for him. He's really good at being like, I'm done doing what I needed to do today and I will happily just sit here and watch TV for hours or play video games for hours, and he's totally content. There's nothing in his head that's like, oh, maybe I should have done this other thing. It's like, not even there.
Yeah.
So jealous.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah.
Kylo's not like that. He's worse than me.
Is he seriously?
Yeah, he's pretty bad.
Oh,
damn.
Like, he's like always on his phone, and he's always like, I think I'm enabling a little bit. Where I was like, we gotta stop first. Like,
yeah.
But I don't know, but I also really like that about him because I've dated like losers.
Yeah.
Who wouldn't do anything.
Right.
Well, yeah.
And so I'm like, ooh, work ethic. Like, it's so attractive to me.
Yeah.
Right. But I think it sort of aggravates mine too, where like if he's always taking care of stuff, because there's always something to take care of,
right?
And I will get in my own where I'm like, oh, I could do stuff too, and then by the end of the day I'm like, why don't I feel more relaxed, you know? Like, we hung out all day and I still feel, you know, which is weird.
So he's got to unplug more too. I'll be talking to Kyle next time I see him.
A mama bear action.
Slip a couple books and tell him where the closest meeting is.
But it's hard because I don't think since the guy I dated in college was like kind of a workaholic, but the last two guys I've dated have not been like at all.
Yeah.
And so now I'm like, it's not something I want to really change. It's like, oh, that's really kind of hot that you just want to work all the time.
No,
but then
at
the same time, you're like, we gotta be quiet for a sec.
Oh man. Yeah. Cam is a perfect 50-50 balance. Like, he goes
that's
to
great.
Work
yeah.
and then anytime he's not at work, he's having fun.
Yeah,
and
good man.
There are a small percentage of time he's doing like chores that I ask him to do, but other than that, it's just work and fun. And he's like, "Yeah, I found my perfect balance. This is me." I'm like, "Hey, you know,
this
what?
Is me.
You do you." That's what he said the other day. He's like, "Babe, I found my perfect balance. This is it.
Aww.
I go to work and then I slug around the house."
Oh,
that's awesome.
Okay, that's fine.
He's so self-aware.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
He's like, he calls the side of the couch that he likes to sit on his nook, so he like talks about his nook life.
His nook life.
Opposite of thug life. Just old man.
Yeah,
nook.
He's got slug life or nook life, and he just hangs out on the couch and video games, TV, eats a meal, whatever, and he stays there.
He's living the life,
and
man.
He's having a great time.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, how? I want some of that. I want to be able to
like,
sit there.
Fuck you, man. I just feel so broken and jaded.
Oh,
like,
man.
Oh, I'm so tired.
Well, I have a couple treats.
Yeah,
myself.
Please.
Yeah, lift us up.
Okay,
tell
here
us
we
about
go.
The good life.
So it's been a while. Maybe people have noticed something on the videos that might be a little different about me, but I got my lips done.
What?
I got a little filler. I don't know if anybody's researched this, but it's Juvederm. Yeah. I just, me and my best friend went and we're like, fuck it, let's try it out. And they just do a little boop, boop, boop all around your mouth hole. And you walk
your
out.
Mouth hole?
You walk out with lips. It's great.
They look great.
They look amazing.
Look very natural. Ooh,
check, peep the YouTube, y'all, if you want to see Delaney's. They're fabulous.
I just,
fabulous
you know,
lips.
Just the same way that I felt about my boobs, I just wanted a little bit bigger.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I didn't want to go crazy, you know.
Yeah. Does Cam like them?
He doesn't care. He's like, I came home and he's like, babe, if you did not tell me you were doing this, I wouldn't have noticed. I probably
even in the beginning?
No.
Oh, I feel like you would have noticed.
Well, the second day was the most swollen, but right when I got it done, you really couldn't tell yet. Really? And he's like, I wouldn't have known unless you had told me that you were doing that.
Oh my God.
But yeah, it's fun. I don't know if I'll do it again. Like, I think it lasts about a year. It's totally reversible if I wanted to go in and be like, hey, just put the antidote in there, take these puppies out, it's fine.
It fades
but I just like, yeah, it's fun.
Yeah,
just
they're like, beautiful. You look stunning.
There you go.
They do look really good.
Ooh, I don't know. So there's natural. It's it's not that. I mean, I think you can really tell from the side, like my profile looks a little different and a little bit weirder now. But like, if you're looking from the front, I feel like it's
perfect.
Nobody's really said anything.
Are you gonna share the defuck with your mom?
Oh, mom! My mom is somebody who.
Situation.
Yeah, she does not like him.
Mine was by birth, unfortunately. This is who I am at my core. But anyway,
my mom walked in my apartment, and I had not even told her I was gonna do it or that I'd already done it. And she was like, "What the fuck did you do to your mouth?" And I'm like, "Oh, I got my lips done, mom." Okay, she was like, "It looks terrible. It looks like somebody punched you in the face. Oh. Looks like you got stung by a bee."
She's
like, "Don't ever do it again." I was like, "You know, I made you perfectly. You don't need to mess with it. All that kind of stuff." And I was like, "Mom, it was just something fun I wanted to try with my girl. Just relax."
What did she think of your boob job?
She didn't. She also was like, "Are you sure you want to do this? Like, you know, why?" And like, I've always wanted boobs. Like, I thought it was pretty obvious,
right?
And she was like, "Okay, if you're going to do it, like, I want to be the one to take care of you," type of thing.
Do you think part of it was just that you didn't tell her?
I don't know. Maybe, but she asked me like, "Are you okay? Like, you seem to be getting all this plastic surgery." And I was like, "Well, that was I got my boobs a couple years ago, over 2 years ago. Again, always wanted them.
Yeah."
I've always wanted a little bit plumper of a lip, if I don't mind saying myself. And so, I'm like, why not? I treated myself. Here's my thing. I do not spend money often, like, on me.
I
spend money on, like, traveling to see family or friends or people's weddings or starting my business. There's been a lot of expenses that way. Filming my special, that was a big cost, but like, I don't usually spend money like directly to treat myself. And so when I do, it might be, well, getting a lip or a boob job.
Like, go big or go home. Like, you are like either nothing or all in.
Exactly. It's like, if I do something nice for myself once a year, probably gonna do something like that. Why not? So anyway, that's one of my treat myself. Another one, I got my IUD out.
Fuck yeah.
Which I've been talking. Yes, which I've been. It hurt. It hurt, but it was super quick. It took like 30, 45 minutes to get that thing in there. And then to pull it out, it was 5 seconds. I was like, oh fuck. And she was like, it's okay.
Are you on the pill now?
Yeah, back to the pill. Orthocycline or something.
Yeah, orthotricycline.
Yeah, orthotricycline.
Are you on orthotricycline low or just orthotricycline?
I think just the regular one.
Oh, okay.
I don't
know.
I'm
on that one, but
difference.
Low is lower estrogen.
Yeah. Okay, but that does. But it's the same. It's the same protection against pregnancy.
As long as you take it at the right times. Yeah.
Right. It sounds like it wouldn't be, but because I think I'm on low estrogen.
Yeah, and not low.
It's probably just like the lowest amount of hormone for it to be effective.
But I talked to my doctor, and she was like, "No, it's the same. You still won't get pregnant." She's like, "There's no difference." I'm like, "But it says low.
Then why even have?
low?
Yeah, I don't know.
Doesn't make any sense, but whatever. I don't know. I'm nervous about it.
Yeah, well, that's about it. Also, I've been decorating my apartment a little bit here and there. Vines on my balcony, so I have like a cute little reading nook out there.
Nice.
And then got some curtains for my windows and.
I'm so jealous of your
Oh, you guys, I made myself a little smoothie station on my kitchen counter because of, the smoothies that we're all trying to do. So now I have like jars where it's just everything is super easily accessible. I don't have to like undo things every
really
day. I lift up the jar, I put the powder in, I lift up my jar, put my seeds in, I grab everything, and it's just all right there.
That's great.
So for me, if it comes to eating healthy and exercise, it has to be so fucking easy or I'm not going to do it. I am not. My yoga mat has got to be like facing me while I sleep, or else I'm not going to pull it out from under my bed and get on that thing ever. So
good for you. That's a great idea.
Tricking myself into being healthy. That's what I have to do. I've accepted that is who I am.
Yeah.
So Yeah, there's some treat myselfs.
Nice job. Well, you treated yourself enough for the both of us. Yeah.
So. Oh my God.
Over here. Yeah.
Two red eyes equals a lip job. Okay, how about
exactly.
that?
Exactly. No. Over here slowly turning to dust.
Yeah. I've been talking to you guys both a lot about it, but it's been really tough to be living in Orange County.
Oh, like, I don't know how you're doing it, man.
You have to come to LA. You have to. For your own sanity.
Oh. I have a treat myself Ooh. Kind of thing. My mom did finally sell her childhood or my childhood home.
Oh, man.
And she moves to L.A. in 2 weeks, and she found an apartment 2 blocks from us.
Yes! No way!
Time to have baby.
There we go. Mama's coming for you.
Mama's coming. So I'm like, fucking delighted. I can't believe that I can walk to my mom. Like, you know,
she's been so cool.
Yeah, she's been 2 states away from me for the last almost 4 years. And so I'm like, I'm so excited.
That is awesome.
Yeah. Have a baby.
I know. I was telling her that. I was like, man, coming down here, it makes me feel like I'm supposed to have a baby soon so that you can take care of it. And I was like, why did you wait so long to have me? Because now you're old, woman. I'm like, you know, I'm like, damn it. Like, you did your thing, which I totally am happy she did. But now it like puts all this pressure on me to like not be able to do my own thing.
What
do you know what I mean?
She had you?
She was 36. And
whoa!
And she was 42 when she had my brother.
Wow.
Whoa!
Yes.
So no wonder you're fine waiting. You're like, I got good genes.
I know, but that's the thing is I love my mom so much, and I want her to be like a grandma, and you know, selfishly, I want some help.
Yeah. Yeah.
And, you know, she's in her mid-60s, and I'm like, well, fuck. Yeah. Wow, I wanted to wait longer, but I don't know.
I feel like your mom's very healthy, though. She's in good shape. She'll be hanging in there.
Yeah,
she,
yeah, but you
she
want
looks
her
fantastic.
To, yeah. You want her to, you know, really help until they're like,
I know,
in college.
I know,
like full time help.
I know. I need her mobile,
so you can she can come over while you're on the road and help Kane.
Yeah,
yeah. Happy retirement, mom. Here's a baby for you to take care of.
I know.
She'd love it. I'm sure.
I know. She really would. She'd be fucking great grandma.
If
awesome.
You have a baby, I'll move to Burbank.
I know. Will you help? Everybody help me.
Oh my gosh.
You should just.
I want to hold a baby so bad, you guys. It's like a problem.
Oh man.
I don't know.
Can find some babies to hold.
Dude,
no big deal.
So we were driving back from Northern California on Saturday night from my grandparents, me and my sister, and my grandma was like, oh yeah, I'm gonna volunteer in the church nursery tomorrow morning. And I was like,
the chursery?
Oh yeah, like, but she just go in there and there's all these babies. I've done it before. It was a long time ago before I had these urges. And I just like, luckily Bryn had to work at 2 p.m. on Sunday, so we couldn't stay. But I was like, I almost was like, Bryn, what if I just gave you $60? Would that cover your shift? Like, I need...
Oh, my God.
I'm still a little... I regret it a little bit that
Whoa.
I didn't. Yeah. Oh, it's...
It's like you went to, like, an animal, like, a kitten shelter or something. Like, that's how I feel. Where I'm like, I need to just live here. You know what I mean?
Yeah, you need to get your fix. That's... I've always had, like, babies in my family at one point or another, so I've never felt, like, super baby-deprived.
Maybe that's what it is.
But maybe if you don't have a lot of babies in your family, you need to find some babies.
I have one, and it's in Portland.
Yeah, you probably need to go and hold some people's babies.
Yeah.
I bet they'll let you.
But I'm afraid it'll make it worse.
But you need to go on like a baby date where you hang out with it all day. Because that, by the time you're done with the baby, you're done with the baby babies in general for a while, usually.
Okay, if
I
anyone
feel
lives
like
in LA,
she's going to be like that.
I really want
you,
one.
Yeah, maybe.
This one is like born to mom.
Have
like,
you like...
She is like born to rear.
Have you done all the things with the baby? Like feed it and change the diaper and let it vomit on you?
I don't have any babies that I'm close enough to.
Once you spend all day with one and you are like doing shit for that kid...
Yeah.
You will get your fill.
Yeah.
I really 100% feel that way.
Okay.
I really don't. She'll just be like, oh,
I mean,
the
especially if it's hers. Like, oh, yeah.
Not
if it was mine,
a,
I mean,
not a question.
Over,
but
I'm so, I forget that I'm 24 because I hang out with you guys and I am 1,000. And so, like, when I get the baby urges, I'm just like, I could do that in like a year. And I'm like, you're. A child, you can't do anything.
You're
like
so
that.
Mature though. Like
but
if you want to have a baby,
yeah,
we talked
about this. You could do it in like 3 to 5 years.
You could do it whenever you want. Yeah,
I
like
could,
there's no freaking number on that shit.
I know that's what you said. You told me 5 years is what you said.
I was like, I don't think you'll make it past 5 years.
I
fucking
know.
Bun she in your oven. I really think you're gonna be cooking something up.
In the meantime, go dabble in some OPC, other people's children, and see how that goes.
If anyone has a baby in the LA area that I can hold,
oh,
please
do that
program. Do you need a date night? Come get.
The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Get me. Anyway.
You'll be fine.
Okay, let's
get,
to,
get into the meat.
Let's get into the meat.
Get into the meat. I love it. That's become just like something we say every episode.
I know. That's going to be a recording we play at live shows when we tour.
It's
Lenny going, let's get into the meat.
We need a meat button.
We need a good man button
and a meat button.
Yeah. Yes, okay. Indeed.
Okay.
Intuitive eating.
So this is a book that I read probably not a super long time ago, like a couple years ago. I found it at a thrift store. Nice. It's by Evelyn Tribble and Elise Reich. I don't know, MSRD, mm-hmm. whatever those things mean. I assume it means they
finished
school.
Registered dietitian, I think.
Nice.
That sounds right.
This is my first. I thought reindeer doctor.
Yeah, same stuff.
RDD,
no.
You know how
registered
it is.
Dietitian, pretty yeah. sure. Pretty
yep.
sure.
So all basically it sounds very simple. And when I picked it up, I was in a place where I was doing Whole 30, but I was doing it too much. I was overly doing Whole 30. I think part of it was like I went through a breakup and I was like, I'm going to be single for a long time, like at least a year, which I almost was.
What does overly doing Whole 30 mean? Like, what do you mean
by
that?
So for Whole 30, you're supposed to do Whole 30 for 30 days. That's why it's Whole 30.
Got you.
And it's supposed to be a reset, and you're supposed to then slowly reintroduce some of the foods. It's not like a permanent thing.
Got
they even
you.
Say that in the Whole 30 book, because I got the book, I did everything. And okay. they were like, this is not a permanent lifestyle. Like, we don't expect you to live this restricted. I know some people do. Some people do the paleo thing and it's like hardcore.
Yeah.
But they're like, we don't expect you to like never eat sugar again. We don't expect you to like, this is a lot.
Yeah.
Okay. But I did it for like 3 months in a row with like 2 days in between. Like I did a month before, I did like a month and then I took like 2 days off. And then I did another month, and then I had Thanksgiving with my family for like 2 or 3 days, and then I did another month.
Oof.
So it was like, and then I tried to do it again. I was like in the midst of still trying to do it. Just like, I'm just going to live like this. Because it felt to me like, okay, it was like a control thing.
Yeah.
And I felt like a sense of accomplishment. Although I will say, on Whole 30, because it was so much meat, I was like constipated. I didn't, like, I felt good because I wasn't doing sugar or anything. But I just didn't, I wasn't like as regular and stuff. And so, bless you.
Bless, yeah. Excuse me. Woo,
and another thing it did is it just made me even more obsessive about the way I was eating. Because I think we've all had similar experiences growing up where like, I think we were all binge eaters, right? Yeah. Mm-hmm. When we were younger.
Were.
I mean, yeah. Do you ever grow out of that? I don't know. Do you still feel like a binge eater?
Oh yeah.
Really?
Oh yeah.
Like you eat till you're sick?
I eat till I'm way, 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 way too full.
Oh,
painfully full.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Delaney doesn't experience any consequences. So it's like, why stop?
Yeah.
You look fucking beautiful.
Yeah. And that's a bit, thank you, baby Jesus, for that. But also like, oof, I gotta watch it.
Yeah, see, I didn't have that experience. You could see it. I was like 30, 35 pounds heavier in high school and the beginning of college. And then once I got really busy and then I was dating somebody seriously, I just got, I was like too busy to overeat and I was like happier, I think, than I was in high school. Mm-hmm. But like my first year of college, I was miserable too. And I was, you know, I was just using food to cope.
Yeah.
And, but at this point I felt like, when I was doing the Whole 30 thing, I felt like I was like obsessively dieting essentially. And I had kind of been doing that since I was younger. Cause even when I was doing the binging stuff in high school, I mean, I would try, you know, it'd be summer and you'd like try to lose weight. And I was always bigger. Like I, you know, looked like I was 14 when I was 10. Like I had boobs. Like I just looked whatever. So dieting was always like this huge thing for me where I was always trying to do it. And then you'd always binge and mess up. And so when I saw this book, I was like, well, this is, I was like, this sounds too simplified to me. Like intuitive eating. Oh, just eat when you're hungry. Yeah, no shit. Like I was I was not super into it, but I was like, you know what? I'm just going to see. And I actually really, really, really liked this book. And I thought, I still think it kind of changed the way I think about it.
Yeah.
Because truthfully, I think I was doing this in college when I got super busy because I just didn't have time to obsess about it.
Yeah.
So I was just eating when I was hungry. So basically, this is what the book says about intuitive eaters. Intuitive eaters march to their inner hunger signals and eat whatever they choose without experiencing guilt or an ethical dilemma. The intuitive eater is an unaffected eater. Yet it is increasingly difficult to be an unaffected eater in today's health-conscious society when you consider the bombardment of nutrition, food, and weight messages from commercials, media, and health professionals. And then I liked what they said here is like when we describe the basic eating traits of an intuitive eater to our clients, it's amazing how often we hear the response, that's how my wife eats or that's how my boyfriend eats. And I think we've all had friends like that. I certainly have where they just eat when they're hungry. And when they're hungry, they eat what they want and they have a cookie and they're like, I had a cookie. And you're like, but there's 15 more cookies that you could eat.
Right.
But those people were always a mystery to me. And for some reason, having it laid out in this book like this was very helpful for me. I'm not totally sure why. But the way they describe it is like an intuitive eater eats like a toddler does. Like just when they get hungry.
Yeah.
They cry when they're hungry. They eat when they're hungry. They stop when they're full. If you yell at a kid to come in for dinner when they're four and they're still having fun playing and they're not that hungry, they won't come in. Whereas as an adult, there's all these mental things that you have. So you're like, I better eat because I should, or this is what I should eat. These are bad foods. So it just kind of tries to get rid of all of that.
It's so hard listen to your body. Like deprogram.
It's so hard.
I feel like the intuitive eating thing is like the anti-diet.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah.
Oof. Yeah. It's so tough because they talk about so much in here, but there was at one point where they talk about the fears that hold you back from intuitive eating. So I'm jumping ahead, but I'm going to talk about that because cool. It ties into what you said.
Do.
So the fears that hold you back. First one is I won't stop eating. I was terrified when I read this. I was like, that's what's going to happen. I'm going to just go. I'm going to eat whatever. Cause they tell you in this book, in order to kind of heal yourself from this mentality, this diet mentality, they straight up tell you like, go eat exactly what you want to eat and enjoy it and just let yourself eat it.
Yeah.
And just don't even monitor yourself. And you're like, well, that if I do that, it'll be bad. And it's true that, you know, maybe in the beginning there'll be a little bit of that, but I don't know. I think if you do that enough, if you're paying attention to when you're hungry, you're also paying attention to when you don't feel that great.
Yeah.
So if you're eating garbage, you're gonna feel like garbage. But the other thing they talk about in here is like that last supper thing before a diet where you go, well, I'm never gonna eat this again, so I'm gonna eat all of it tonight. And it doesn't work at all. It's a terrible start. They also talk about how the moment you say you're not allowed to have something, that's all you want to do. We've talked about that with like TV appearances where we're like, month till the Tonight Show, I'm gonna eat perfect. And of course you don't. You're like, Taco Bell three times this week, great.
I eat worse than I've ever eaten when it was leading up to the Tonight Show, because I just was like, oh, I'll just try again tomorrow. And then I did that for 30 days. I was like, whoops. It's like now and I'm just gonna wear Spanx.
There
you go. So that fixes all those cookies.
Another thing that holds them back, I've tried it before. They're like, whatever, I've tried to eat whatever I want, didn't work. A self-fulfilling prophecy. Sometimes just the thought that you'll overeat is enough to make you actually do it. I won't eat healthy. And a lack of self-trust, which I don't know if you guys feel like that.
Yes. Like trust that you can't stop? Or
trust that you can't eat healthy if you have ice cream in the house.
Yeah.
You don't trust yourself to get too much ice cream. Because if you have like a big thing of ice cream, you're going to overeat it. You're not going to eat like tiny bits over the next 3 weeks. Yeah. You're going to finish that ice cream in like a few days.
Yes, that's exactly what I do.
Yeah, yeah, me too. I'm like, I just can't buy those things anymore.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I have same. To go, I have to make it hard for myself to go get those things usually. Like, oh, it's going to be a trip to the grocery store. I'm going to have to walk and get it or whatever. Yes.
Yeah.
I like that. I didn't read the book, but I watched her YouTube presentation. Mm-hmm. Tribble, is that right?
Yeah, yeah.
And I did that Last Supper thing is so interesting because she made the point where when you think it's the last time you're going to do something or eat something or whatever, you're not really present. You're not even present enough to ask yourself, do I actually even like this thing? Or what do I feel like when I eat this thing? Or what do I feel like after I eat this thing? You're just thinking, oh my God, just, you know, get it in there. And, you know, so I really like that. Also, I just kind of wanted to cover the 10 principles of intuitive eaters. This was on the PowerPoint presentation she had. Honor your hunger. Respect fullness, seek satisfaction, honor feelings, exercise, reject diet mentality, make peace with food, challenge the food police, respect your body, and gentle nutrition. Was that one of them?
Yeah, I think basically that just means eat healthy, but don't be a Nazi about it.
Yeah, yeah. I really like this theory or method for people who I think have an unhealthy relationship with food, like the moral issue that they have, like the donut is bad and the apple is good. I like how they kind of break down, like, look, an apple and a donut are morally the same. Nothing one is not better, you know, or evil, right? Nutritionally a little bit different, but you're not a bad person if you eat the donut and you're not a good person if you eat the apple. You take that morality issue out of it. I like that a lot, and I think this is probably a particularly good book for anybody who might have an eating disorder in that way. But this did not work for me very well.
Really?
I felt like I was in a really good routine, eating pretty healthy, having my little treats here and there, feeling good. And when I spent the whole day reviewing this stuff and watching this presentation, I went to fucking town because it gave me permission to eat whatever I wanted, whenever I wanted. And I was eating multiple burgers a day. I ate two cartons of ice cream this week, you guys. It was, I went to fucking town for at least a week, nonstop. Oh, so man. I don't think this was very good for my mentality.
Wow.
However, the week went by and I'm back to doing, you know, relatively good stuff.
Yeah.
But I really went for it. I'm like, oh my God, I can eat whatever I want when my intuition wants In-N-Out. So I'm going to go do that.
Right.
And oh, it wants it again. So I guess, you know, so I don't know, like, if your intuition's like a fuck boy, I don't know what you really do.
Right?
So funny, yeah. So funny.
Because you also have to think about, well, where's your intuition coming from? Are you eating your feelings? Are you actually hungry?
Right.
Are you somebody who, I guess, if you're overweight, you produce, or you're what is it? Leptin, something about leptin. You like produce more, or like your signals, your hunger signals are not the same.
Right. So, well, and I think also, like, when we had Alex on, how sugar is like chemically addictive, and that you have to actually do a sugar detox in order to actually hear the correct signals. And I feel like I've definitely slipped back into having more refined sugar, which sucks, but I'm, you know, it's better than it was before. But I do feel
is it really
already
that bad before. I've never felt like you were.
I mean, I would usually find a way to have some form of dessert every day. And not like probably a huge quantity, but, you know, every day having like a cookie or a brownie or something like that. And I don't know. I just feel like it would probably build up. But yeah, I can already feel like maybe my intuition is not as clear as it was when we were doing like the hardcore stuff with Alex and having that weird raw cacao shit that you hate.
I like it in my smoothie.
I'm still making that.
I like it in my
beauty fudge.
Dude, I make those smoothies now, but it's like that smoothie on steroids. Like, I do pretty well with my morning smoothie now.
Yeah.
Like, that is one thing that I do during the week because I need something to keep me full, or else I'll go to town. I'll get to work and I'll get a freaking breakfast burrito and then I'll have lunch, you know? And so, I put like broccoli and cucumber and spinach and the cacao.
Are you serious?
And banana and avocado. It's like a full fucking meal in that thing. Because if I don't have that and I have to have a full avocado in there and a full banana, I have to like really stuff it. It's like thick. It is not even a smoothie. That is a it's a goddamn meal.
Full avocado and a full banana in
there? Oh yeah. Yeah. Or else I will be hungry by 10:30 and I will
with your metabolism.
I will get two freaking lunches. Yeah.
Oh my God. That's so
I have at least an avocado every day cuz I just have to. Cuz if you don't, I feel like
it keeps you a little full.
Really? I feel like almost like pukey if I have more than like half of an avocado.
Really? I mean, I don't eat the whole thing at once.
It's so like, this is so high fat and so like rich. I just feel like it.
I'll have like half an avocado in the morning and like half at night. And I think
that's great.
That keeps me from like wanting a bunch of sugar or anything.
Yeah.
The fat thing was like a real game changer for me. Same. Also, we were talking about this. I think I'm just pescatarian now. I think that's just like my deal. Because I tried to have some chicken this weekend. I was just like, I don't feel right about this.
Yeah, chicken is getting weird for me.
Chicken's real weird.
Beef and fish.
Yeah.
It's very not pescatarian. I like burgers and shrimp.
Fish just is, and everyone's so different, but fish really agrees with me.
Yeah.
Beans agree with me. I think gluten-free is a little bit better for me.
Yeah.
Like, just, you know, just maybe it's a mental thing. Yeah, you just got to figure it out. And I like that they went through all of the different types of eaters, because I was wondering what you guys, who you mostly related to.
Describe them.
Three eating personalities are the careful eater, which is like overly planned, like always planning the next meal, very careful, almost like militant eating. Mm-hmm. And they're maybe not dieting necessarily, but they like scrutinize every food situation. Mm-hmm. And there's the professional dieter who every choice they make is to lose weight. Which, you know, they do the Last Supper thing. There's a vicious cycle where they're, like, dieting really hard. They feel deprived, so they binge, and then they gain the weight back. I've definitely been that before where, you know, as messed up as it sounds, like, I feel like I'm finally in a place now where I'm eating for health and, like, how I feel. Yeah. But it took a long time to get to a point where I wasn't, you know, just going, like, well, what's going to make me thinner? Like, if it makes me thinner, then I'm into that. Like, that's fine. I'm finally at a place now where I'm like, you know what? Like, this is where my body is comfortable, and this is like the thinnest I've ever been, and I don't think I can get much thinner, even if I was like, I would have to eat like no sugar or carbs at all. Like, I would have to be unhealthy to lose more weight.
Right.
And just being in that mindset is so miserable. And you know, like, there are so many people, those are my favorite Instagram accounts to follow, are people who like used to be like, you know, bikini models or like professional bodybuilders or something, and they show like before pictures and they're like, they look amazing, and then they show pictures of them after and they still look really, really good, but they're clearly not as thin. And they're like, so on the right hand side, that was me eating 800 calories a day and working out 4 hours a day. And it's like, oh shit, you have no idea what people are doing.
Oh yeah.
And then this other one where they look great, but they don't look, they look like they could be that thin, you know, where you're like, oh my God. Anyway. And then the third kind was an unconscious eater. And they had a bunch of like sub types of unconscious eaters. They have chaotic, where you're just too busy, so you're just like, what can I get?
Right.
Refuse not, where they just never refuse anything that's offered. Waste not. They don't want to waste food. Is that
I'm a refuse not and waste not for sure.
That's what I thought. Yeah. Oh. And then there's an emotional unconscious eater, where you just eat when you're sad or when you feel whatever. And then and they're all just they all just lead to chronic overeating. It's just all the different thing. They just go so in depth on all the different reasons why you're eating. So it's just all about listening to your body, I feel like, and listening to your emotions and just identifying where you're at. They talk about the fact that it's normal. They say like normal eaters don't always just eat from pure hunger. You know, there's taste hunger, where it's just, you want to eat it because it tastes good. There's practical hunger, which is like, okay, I'm going to be hungry at 6.
Yeah.
It's 4:30 now. I'm not that hungry, but I have to eat because I can't eat until 8 if I don't eat now. And then emotional hunger, which is like you're feeling something. And they talk about like the sort of void you feel after you're not using food anymore to cope with stuff. I don't know if you guys have experienced that. I definitely did. I've noticed it in the last few years, especially when, because I'm at a point now where like, if I do have that instinct to like go eat ice cream or something because I'm sad, I know it's not going to work. Whereas when I was younger, I felt like it helped.
For sure.
And it's like, it's almost, you almost like mourn the ease of it.
Yeah, I mean, I can tell myself, like, yeah, you could get that cookie and you would maybe have, like, the pain you're feeling be a little bit better for those 10 seconds you're eating it.
Yeah.
But then after you're done, the pain is still going to be there. And also you're going to feel like shit because you just ate a bunch of cookies. Yep, so it's actually going to make it worse.
Yeah. I've done a lot of self-analysis with my eating stuff over the last couple years. And I don't know if I should say this because I might get a talking to about it. But again, not trying to offend anybody. When I was younger, I know my mom is an amazing mother. She's always been pretty unhealthily overweight. Mm-hmm. And I remember as a kid trying to stuff myself or eat as much as I could so she couldn't eat it and get more unhealthy. And I think in a weird way, I've been trying to like, I've gotten in this habit of like trying to save my mom or something.
Yeah.
And I knew that if I ate a bunch of the cookies, she wouldn't have any cookies to eat that night and stuff.
Yeah.
So I think I've just kind of kept in that habit and, you know, I have to take responsibility now for it as an adult, but I think it kind of stemmed a lot from that. And also just like food growing up was just like fun and enjoyed food. It was like my family's very, when it comes to food, it's very entertaining and all this stuff. Yeah. It's like I have a lot of like nice warm memories when it comes to food.
Yeah.
But I think some of the unhealthy stuff was maybe surrounded by that a little bit.
Wow, yeah.
Mom, I love you. It's okay. Don't worry. She might listen to this and be like, so I listened to this episode.
Have you talked to her about that?
I've never told her that, no.
Really?
Wow.
No. I remember Patreon.
You told me that, like, I don't know, 6 months ago, maybe longer. And I was like, I mean, that totally stayed with me because I just feel like that's a really, like, of course that would affect you, like, mentally, emotionally with your eating habits as you continue to get older.
Right.
Those are such young, learned patterns.
Right.
Yeah.
And now I'm, like, trying to break that. That's a 28-year-old. Like, because I'll just be very unconscious about it. Like, I've eaten dinner with you guys where, like, if you have leftovers, I'm eating your leftovers. I think you had, like, a leftover couple sushi rolls today.
I did.
And I had to physically stop myself from being like, Taylor, let me eat that shit. Because I was like, Delaney, you are full. You do not need Taylor's leftovers right now.
Wow.
But I have to be so, like, present about it. Being like, wow, this is what's going on.
Yeah.
You're not in this situation anymore. Calm the fuck down.
Wow.
Yeah. So I know where some of it comes from.
Did you realize that in therapy or just on your own?
I think I've kind of come to that realization on my own.
That's very impressive.
Because I went through a really awful few months of, like, eating everything and not getting full to the point where I thought I maybe had a tapeworm or something.
Really?
And and basically realized it was a lot of just, it was emotional.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Crazy shit, man.
Oh my gosh. It's there's so many things.
Oh.
Yeah.
I liked, well, she kind of talked about some dieting behaviors in disguise to kind of watch out for. So if you do any of these things, maybe you might have an unhealthy relationship with it. Paying penance for bad foods. Drinking something instead of eating, limiting your carbs, putting on an act in public. I'm assuming like trying to eat super healthy in public, maybe.
Yeah.
Competing with someone who is dieting and not eating at certain times of the day.
Yeah.
And it's really, she's like, it's really all about variety, balance, and moderation. And the consistency over time that matters. It's kind of like if you're just focusing on how the food makes you feel and how the exercise makes you feel, you're just going to naturally kind of lose weight because you're not, you know, so focused on it, which I like that about exercise because I'm somebody who I can really get in the habit of like, look, if I'm not going hard balls to the wall exercise, what's the point? I should just sit here. Right.
Yeah.
But I'm like, no, something is better than nothing. And going for a nice little walk is better than just sitting there.
Yeah.
And so I have to get out of that mentality because I was, you know, athlete growing up and I know what a hard workout feels like versus not. And I'll beat myself up sometimes for just wanting to go on a walk or a little hike or something.
Yeah. I do the exact same thing.
So I like that.
Like the competitive sports background.
Yeah.
Like I will never be able to unknow what it feels like to actually be so exhausted that you feel like you would just fall asleep on like a bus or something. Like you could fall asleep anywhere. You're so physically tired. And I don't know how to make myself that tired anymore because it's just on my own. Right. And like, I'm not disciplined enough to push myself to that point. I'll push myself to where I get like sweaty, but I don't have a coach screaming at me and like threatening to, you know, take me off the starting lineup or something if I don't finish these laps. So it's really hard. And back then I used to eat whatever the fuck I wanted, whenever I wanted. I mean, I was eating everything all the time and I was like the most fit I've ever been. And I'll never be like that again. I just know I won't, which sucks, but it is what it is.
So there's I was in creative stuff. Writing. I think that's... Oh, go
no,
ahead.
No, sorry. Go ahead,
you
Taylor.
Go. You go.
I really like this, too. She says you gotta get rid of this whole all-or-nothing black-and-white dieting mentality. Yes. It can be really dangerous because there's only two options. It's one, perfection, which is not attainable or maintainable, and the other one is feeling like you failed. So you need that middle of the road gray area where you're just doing what you feel. I really like that. She was like pretty hardcore against like the dieting industry. Like she was really like, I don't care if it's Weight Watchers or Jenny Craig or whatever the fuck, it ain't working.
It's
dieting and weight loss is a $66 billion industry with repeat business. Because, you know, one thing doesn't work, you go on to the next one, right?
Yeah.
But I really like the whole, you know, bring the enjoyment back to eating and food. I really do. Like, if you're going to eat that donut, don't beat yourself up for it. Just enjoy it while it's happening and move on.
Right.
Don't fucking beat yourself up all day and go on a 3-hour run to you know, cancel it out. Just let yourself enjoy it.
Yeah, because sometimes it's fine. Like, just go be... That was, like, a big thing in Whole30. There were, like, chapters on what do I do when it's Christmas and everybody has... And they're like, just make your own cranberry and nut butter.
Get the fuck out of here.
And just bring your own and say, does anyone want this? And I'm like, this is a joke.
No one wants your bird seed, Karen. Yeah. That's for you and you alone.
Yeah. It's just like, not at all. And then there were a couple times where they're like, well, if your grandma made and she like slaved over them and it means something to you, then, you know, just have a little bit and enjoy it. And it's like, this is the saddest shit I've ever read in my whole life. Like, I don't know. It's just, I'm pretty, I think, again, it's good to reset. If you're trying to figure out when you're really hungry and like if you're addicted to sugar and everything, I think Whole30 is actually pretty good. And I know they have made adjustments for plans, you know, if you're vegetarian or vegan or whatever else. But just know that it's a reset. Don't like, we could do a whole episode on that. But there were so many other things. So she was talking about, in the book, they talk about rebound eating. Which is like just more. Do you remember that? Did they talk about that?
That sounds
they were talking about, you know, people who, you know, eat as if they're in captivity, as if they're competing with other people for food based on how they grew up, as if they're, you know, still in the depression, like just like that it's scarce, once in a lifetime, like I'll never eat this again. But one that I thought was really interesting, and I wanted to know if you felt this way specifically, Kelsey, because it was the returning home rebound eating. Where you've been gone, you've been away from home for so long that you overeat because you're just so relieved to have familiar foods. I had not thought about that. I've done that before.
Yeah.
Where I've gotten home and I've just been like stuck in a hotel room. And so I had to have like, even if it's really good, healthy food, I do eat more than I need to. I'm like, oh, thank God I can have scrambled eggs
and
again.
I'm like in control of it. I guess I did do that today now that I think about it, because I would like actually went to the grocery store and it's kind of that like, you know, when you go to the grocery store and then you open the fridge and you're like, there's so many options, I can't choose, so I'll just eat all of them right now. Like, that's kind of what I did. But also I feel like when I'm on the road, I end up eating way more like unhealthy foods than I would at home. And so it's almost like, maybe I do eat more when I come home, but I definitely eat a lot healthier once I get home, because I'm just like, fuck, I just had, you know, fish and chips 3 nights in a row or whatever, you know. Ugh.
I feel like? I feel like I undereat on the road, depending on where I'm at. Yeah, if I am somewhere that I can't, there's nowhere for me to get to, it's tough for me to find like healthier options.
Yeah.
And so what I'll end up doing is just not eating as much to like kind of counter it.
Do you do that too?
Yeah. But then I get home, and when there's enough healthy options, I'm like, well, I'm going to make, you know, just a bunch of scrambled eggs and spinach and just olive, and I'm going to make bell peppers. And then you just get really full on stuff that's very good for you. But it's almost like you've just been, you're coming from a place of deprivation.
Yeah. That makes total sense. I definitely do that.
Yeah.
Oof.
You eat like a bunch of freezer fudge because you're like, this is fine.
Yes.
Yeah. There's no sugar in it. You're like, but there's a lot of coconut oil.
Oh, man. Yeah. I thought it was interesting she made the comparison between France and the United States, where it's like the French, you know, they eat when they want, they drink the wine, they eat the cheese and the bread and the this, and like they're one of the most healthy countries. Yeah. And meanwhile, the United States is like everybody's always on a diet and stuff. We're in like one of the most unhealthy countries.
Yeah. That's another book I read, French Women Don't Get Fat. The audiobook. I really enjoyed it. And it was about this girl who went, basically stayed in France for a number, I don't know how long she lived there.
Yeah.
And she's just talking about how they eat over there and how it's just very mindful and they enjoy it and they eat whatever. And it's just good ingredients. And I was like, oh yeah, that sounds dope. But sometimes I'm at the O'Hare airport at 4 a.m.
And they're looking for Kelsey and she's at a different airport.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh man.
So it's like, you don't know. And then, there was another thing they were talking about. They were talking about using food to cope with emotions and sometimes they do a thing called loosening the reins, where if you're a very high achieving individual, the only time that you feel like you can let yourself let loose is when you like let yourself binge or like eat crazy. Which I felt like that sometimes, where if I do, I don't really even binge anymore. Like for me, if I say like, oh, I binged, it just means I ate something really unhealthy. It just means I went and had like two donuts or something, which is not like binging necessarily, where, you know, you go and eat like eight.
Right.
But it's still, that's like so out of character for me that like that'll be like, oh, something you agonize over. But I did still relate to that as far as like, you know, you're doing everything perfectly and then you get really stressed out and then you go, you know what? I'm just going to go get something that tastes really good.
Yeah,
and sit in my car by myself.
I had pie for dinner last night and lunch today.
Oh, man.
I'm proud of you.
Because that's where I was at emotionally. And I just was like, I need this. And I don't want anybody to ask me any questions about it.
Yeah.
It's my intuitive eating. This is what my body wants. What it needs. And I had half of the pie last night and then I had the rest for lunch.
Do you feel better?
I mean, like emotionally, it felt like the right choice.
Yeah.
Physically, afterward, not so much. You know, it's like, wow, it's a lot for 11 a.m. But
yeah.
I'm proud.
Well, I got my IUD out on this past Saturday, so Cam bought me treats because I went to the doctor, and so he got me two donuts and a carton of ice cream, and I ate all of it.
Oh my god. I love that he got you a treat for going to the doctor.
Yeah. I also was like, if there's treats waiting for me, I'm not going to be mad about it, you know?
I just don't know how you don't feel sick. Like, I will never forget you talking about when you went to the baseball game not that long ago.
Oh, yeah.
And you talked about, like, what you ate in that period of time. And I just, I don't understand the anatomy of you, like, physically, where it even fits in your body and how you don't, like, feel like you need it to come back up.
Well, sometimes I do feel sick.
Okay.
A lot of the time I don't.
Okay.
But, no, a lot of the time I do, I'm like, oh, that was too much. And, it can't go back. It's already inside me. So, but no, like I felt great. I ate those two donuts and that ice cream and I felt totally fine.
Are you talking like a pint of
ice
cream?
You felt totally fine?
Yeah, like you know, this
you
kind of ice cream.
You feel a little bit like
no,
gurgly?
I felt fine. I went out and ran some errands after. You
had
know,
you
like,
already had a meal or is like.
No, that was my breakfast. Oh, I had a couple
that
raspberries.
Was your breakfast.
I had a couple raspberries before all that because I woke up early to go to the doctor and I didn't want to pass out. So I had some raspberries, but then I had the ice cream later on in the day, but I had the donuts, went out, didn't eat for several hours, came back.
But you know, those were your breakfast calories.
I don't know how you do it, man.
But sometimes I do overdo. I'm like, okay, that was yikes.
Well, we should probably wrap up. I do want to read the other ways to cope with your emotions that aren't food, because I thought these were pretty good.
Yeah.
As far as just like, oh, I was like, oh, I guess those things are way better than donuts.
Yeah.
Number one, get rest.
Sure.
When I haven't slept, I feel like so hungry. I've made my worst food decisions when I'm exhausted in an airport at 4 a.m. And I go, you know what? I'm gonna have an orange juice and whatever the hell else I want in here. Yeah, what is absolutely. That? Candy ginger? Give it to me.
But you're like overcompensating for like the lack of one need not being met. So you're like, well, this other one is going to be super met.
Yes.
Pie. Absolutely. Two meals.
Pie. Two meals.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Number two was sensual pleasure. Which is just a real creepy way of saying sex.
Yeah.
Rub sensual, it out, man.
Which is true, yeah. Man. Like, that was part of it. I think once I became sexually active, I was like, oh, this is way better than food. Like, that's the only time I'll forget to eat is when I'm having a lot of sex.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, this is
I don't know. They're kind of equal for
I'll
me.
I'll always really? Take cake over dick. I mean, really? Without question. Never
you've,
am
you've
I
been
like
loved a lot longer than I have.
And I so love dick, but there. Like cake is cake, man.
Cake
that
is
true.
In my I mind, love dick, but cake is cake.
I yeah. mean, you can't compete with cake. I'm sorry.
Oh yeah. My god, I love you so much. Number three is express feelings instead of eating them. Maybe just say, hey, I'm sad, instead of going number four is being heard, understood, and accepted. Is that better than cake? Yeah, that's what I thought.
No.
five, being creatively and intellectually stimulated. And six, receiving warmth and comfort.
Yeah, that's all right. No, those
real
are all
skeptical.
Great. Oh, I want it real quick. I just want to zip through a couple things. Yeah. The four characteristics of intuitive eaters: rely on your internal hunger. You can eat without apology. Eats for physical and not emotional reasons.
Yes.
There's a couple others.
Because the idea is if you're really listening to your body doesn't really need Taco Bell.
Yes.
What your body needs is probably like avocado.
Sure.
And maybe some leafy greens.
Exactly. Yeah. I will say I don't think the intuitive eating is for everybody, including myself. I think it's a great way for you to maintain like maybe where you're already at.
Yeah.
As far as when it comes to losing weight, maybe you can lose those extra pounds that you're wanting to. But when it comes to like, you know, if you're medically or clinically obese, I know that can screw up your hormones. So you're more resistant to insulin and leptin, making basically you don't know when to stop eating your sensors, or I guess, you know, like you don't actually know when you're full. Let's see. Psychological issues can also impact your ability to make rational choices about food. So another thing, you might need to seek professional help with that before you can get your food more under control. And you're also another one. Your body tells you what you need in order to maintain your current weight. So if you're looking to lose weight, it might not work, because you know, if you're overweight, your body's going to tell you to keep eating more food to
That's
maintain
a good
that.
Point, yeah.
That's a really good point.
Yeah. So
again, not for everybody.
Yeah.
You know, if you're trying to have a drastic weight loss, probably not for you.
Right.
But if you're trying to repair your relationship with food,
that's it. Yes.
I think that's it. Like, I mean, when I read this, I was already pretty much where I wanted to be weight wise. I lost a little bit of weight, like just doing this.
Yeah.
But it wasn't enough to make a huge difference.
Right.
And I wasn't necessarily trying to, and I wasn't at an unhealthy weight. I was within the range that was totally fine. So again, those are all really good things to look at. But again, if you're all messed up with food psychologically, I think it's worth reading. It's definitely worth reading.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
I thought it was interesting. Cool.
Sorry.
All right, guys, plug your shit.
Perfect. So this comes out on Monday, August 27th. I'll be headlining American Comedy Co. down in San Diego this Thursday through Saturday. This
with
is
Kane, right?
Yes, Kane will be
Fun.
With me. This is where the homeless guy was humping my poster outside the club,
Hell
which will
yeah.
forever be the best promo I could ever receive. So if you're in San Diego, I think we do have some helpsters down there. Please come out to those shows. Twitter is at Kelsey Cook. Instagram is Kelsey Cook Comedy. And website is kelseycook.com.
Perfect. TTomComedy.com for tour dates, just to make it real easy. August 30th, that's this week, through September 2nd. Oh, no, August 31st. Sorry, just Friday through Sunday. I am at the Funny Bone in Syracuse, New York. September 13th through 16th, I'm at the San Jose Improv. And September 26th through the 30th, I am at the Comedy Cellar in Las Vegas.
Beautiful. Mm-hmm. DelaneyFisher.com, @DelaneyFisher across the board. Dicks by Delaney is super close to the hard launch And also a couple things have been added to Patreon. We have added little 3-on-1 Skype calls. We're going to be Skyping you guys in between podcast recordings. We've added that. We also added the Helpster's Choice, where you guys get to choose one episode topic every month. So go to the patreon.com/selfhelpless and sign up for bonus episodes and prizes.
Yay. We love you guys.
We love you. Why won't